Good morning. Welcome to all of you who have made it here this morning, and welcome to those who join us online. We continue our series on prayer this morning. I'm sure that it was in many of our thoughts and on our minds and on the lips of many over this last few days as we watched the weather and the progress of the storm. And perhaps this is a reminder to keep our conversations up with God at all times and in all situations.
Our reading today comes from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. And it's headed Final Instructions. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it.
Thank you, Alan. So we are continuing our series that we started last week, O When the Saints. A deeper delve into what it means to pray, I suppose, the nuts and the bolts of that. Hopefully this series will enable us to understand prayer a little bit more. Not only understand it, but give us the nuts and bolts of how to. Sounds quite strange in many ways to stand in front of a church and say the nuts and bolts of how to pray, because it should be one of the very natural things for a body of believers. Yet often it can be the one thing that sometimes we can struggle with and we can lose a little bit of as well. Last week we thought about making a connection and the importance of that connection with God, because that's what prayer is. It's that connection with God. It's the connection of the heavenlies to the earthly, from the temporal to the eternal, and how we make that connection, how we actually spend time. We heard that phrase about busyness last week, being under Satan's yoke, that sense of sometimes we are so busy with everything else that the first thing that slips is those moments of prayer. So let's pray together before we move into today's passage. Father, help us not to diminish your presence amongst us. So in our welcoming your presence here, it's not that we don't already believe that you are, but it's an openness, the opening of our hearts and our minds before you, in the knowledge that your word is living and active, and your word can speak truth into our hearts, our minds, our very souls today, and that your Spirit's presence amongst us, connecting your living word into our souls, is the moment of transformation for us. So give us grace to hear your word and not mine, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so today we look at when the saints start a conversation. So the phrase today is start a conversation. If you remember last week, we discussed how conversations grew through relationships. And how as relationship grows, conversations become easier, sometimes even having the ability to sit in silence with people that we knew and are very comfortable with. Last week, I kind of described that relationship that me and Shirley had from that early day all the way through to now, to the moments when actually Shirley doesn't even have to speak to me anymore. I know what it is that she's thinking just by her facial expressions. Some of them telling me off and warning me. But other times, those little smiles or those moments of connection. So that idea of making the connection is deeply ingrained in our conversations, because our conversations are something that we do every single day. One of the things that you hear me say often whenever I stand here is, oh, there's a word that we don't use in conversations often. Predestination, sanctification, redemption. We don't use these words often as we buy our milk in the co-op. But conversations are something that we do absolutely every day with other people. Sometimes our days are filled with conversations. Sometimes our days are filled with really kind of almost insignificant and random conversations with people that we meet in the queue in a shop or people that we bump into down the street. And other times and other days, our conversations are filled with the deep conversations of life. Conversations that we have in a doctor's surgery. The conversations that we have with someone who has just lost somebody that they love. So conversations are a part of our everyday practice. There's something that we're all involved in. And even sometimes we have conversations with ourselves. Or am I the only one that does that? No, there's a few other people at least do that. Sometimes we have conversations even with ourselves, whether that's internally or sometimes I find myself having a conversation with myself out loud and having talking things out as I go. Conversations are vital to us as individuals. So whenever we start a conversation with God, it is vital and important. Last week we looked at the words briefly of the Lord's Prayer. We saw that it is an all-encompassing, kind of catch-all prayer that has everything in it. Is that the formula that we should base our conversations with God, therefore, on? Is there a formula that we should base our conversations with God on? Or is there something else that we need to consider? Is it just the Lord's Prayer? And we use the Lord's Prayer nearly every week in this place. And often we probably use it in our homes. It's one of the first prayers that we have probably ever taught to pray in Sunday school, or even back in the day whenever we were taught to pray in schools. But is it the only way to pray? Or are there many other ways to have those conversations with God? Well, if you look through the pages of the scriptures, they are absolutely littered with prayers. There's the prayers of Noah, the prayers of Elijah, the prayers of Moses, the prayers of Amos, the prayers of Paul, the prayers of the widow, the prayers of the thief on the cross, the prayer of Jabez. There are loads of prayers littered through the scriptures. Moments in time whenever the people of God needed to have a conversation with God about the situation that they found themselves in. And that's before we even get to the Psalms, because often the Psalms are seen as those conversations with God. They're the points where King David and the other writers of the Psalms laid their hearts bare before God. There's moments of happiness and jubilation, and there's moments of extreme frustration and anger. There's moments of depression and deep anguish. Everything is contained in the Psalms. But each one of those, whether they're the prayers of Moses or David or Amos or Paul or the widow or whether they're the Psalms of David, they still seem very unique. They're unique prayers to God, focusing on what their needs are at that particular moment in time. And that's often our definition of what prayer is, isn't it? It's a conversation with God about our needs for a particular season or a particular moment in time. The book of Hebrews describes or risen Savior Jesus as the mediator between God and man. The one who stands between us. The one who intercedes on our behalf. And actually, this is really, really important to grasp and to know and to understand as we wrestle with this topic of prayer. Jesus, if you like, cleared the decks. The foot of the cross is a level playing field. The curtain of the temple was torn in two. The old way of it just being a priest or a high priest who was allowed into the holies of holies, where the ark of God, the very presence of God, resided for the people of Israel, that curtain was torn in two. And access to the holy of holies, the very presence of God, was given to each one of us through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is an awesome privilege that we can proclaim as a believer of Jesus. That we have access to the creator and sustainer of the universe, that we have access to the holy of holies, the very presence of God, that we can invite his presence into our situations, not dismissing the fact that he is already present, but as I prayed at the beginning, opening ourselves to what he might do for us. We are followers, believers of a triune God. We have access to the heavenlies in that moment. In your moments, right now, right here, you have access to the heavenly throne room of the creator of the universe. Good news. Really, really, really good news. And if we weren't more conservative Anglicans, there'd be whoop-whoops, amens, and dancing in the aisles at that point. Because actually, this is amazingly fantastic, brilliant, great news that you and I have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Not in years to come, not just because of something that's happened in the past, but in the here and the now. We can have a conversation with God now. Not because of what we have done, but because of what he has done. Not because of who you are, but because of who he is. That's why our passage today urges us in several ways to do several things. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says all of these things. We'll run through them very, very quickly, okay? It tells us to respect our leaders. That's kind of diminishing a little bit in the culture that we live in. It tells us to live in peace, not to create strife. Tells us to warn those who are idle, not to be lazy. Tells us to be kind, to be joyful, to be thankful. Tells us to pray continually, to not quench the Spirit of God, to test everything, to hold on to that which is good. We're to note those things. We're to mark those things. We're to recognize those things. We are to respect our leaders. We are to live in peace. We are to warn those who are idle. We are to be kind, joyful, thankful. We are to pray continually not to quench the Spirit. We are to test everything. We are to hold on to what is good. Those things are all great in and of themselves. But whenever you put them all together, something shifts. There's a different atmosphere. There's a different fragrance in the air, like whenever somebody brews coffee. There's a different atmosphere, a different fragrance, because actually the presence of God begins to move in each of those areas and in each of those spaces, and something changes. Other people look and see something different, something that stands out. And each of those things sometimes may seem a little bit unachievable, but yet they stand ready for us to access. because we can strike a conversation with God. So wherever there's strife and not peace, we can seek for God. Whenever we feel that other people around us are not pulling their weight, we can seek for God. Whenever our leaders don't seem to do what it is that they're called to do, we can seek God for them and on their behalf. But in the middle of it all, right smack in the middle of all those things that are accessible to us and that we are called to do, is verse 17, and it tells us to pray continually. Now, other versions will say pray without ceasing. Pray all the time. Pray without ceasing, pray continually. Just don't stop praying. That's easier said than done, James, isn't it? Like, how am I supposed to go about all of my daily life continually praying without ceasing? How am I supposed to constantly pray and spend time with God and not stop doing it? It's not that we suddenly remove ourselves from everything that we're involved in and we just simply sit down and spend time in a quiet place with God and almost become the little hermit that's all that they do. It's that we acknowledge God's presence with us all of the time. And in acknowledging God's presence with us all of the time, we are more willing to have those instant prayers that create the fragrance around us. We are more willing to take time to seriously pray about other things. That we are constantly noticing things around us and then bringing them to God in prayer. Last week we talked about making a connection with God, finding a space and a time to spend with him and to get to know him. So how do we actually start these conversations? Are they just the most natural thing in the world? Or do you almost need a set of jump leads to kind of get you going? Because a bigger part, actually, of this praying continually, a bigger part of this conversation with God is that you actually sometimes are silent and that you take time to listen. And don't mistake that silence for the fact that you are no longer praying continually, because you're still in the presence of God, listening for his voice and in conversation with him. I don't think there are any magic formulas to prayer. You use words that we're comfortable with. Maybe we, if we're unsure what to say, we take a psalm and we read a psalm that might speak into that situation. Maybe we might start small. Maybe it might just be two or three words, but whenever it begins to flow, we continue the conversation. Maybe you use one of the Psalms, as I said, or maybe you use a prayer from the prayer book or from a book of prayers that you can pick up in a shop. Maybe you're uncertain how to formulate what it is that you say, but whenever you use those other more structured things, don't get mistaken by the fact that that's the only way then that you can pray, that there has to be a structure and a formality to it. Praying continually means that we're in a constant state of recognizing God's presence with us. I know sometimes we teach our children how to pray. I mean, the church teaches the children how to pray using a short phrase called ACTS. That you start your prayer with adoration. You give God his rightful place. Father, Lord, whatever it might be. You're amazing, you're brilliant, you're great. But you come before him and you say, I'm sorry for what I have done. I'm sorry maybe I don't always do the things that are right. And you give thanks for the things that he's done for you and around you. And then you ask for the things that's deepest in your heart. And sometimes people find a simple structure like that a place to begin that allows the conversations to flow. But don't neglect the sitting in silence. Don't neglect and say amen and think that's it, finished, if you use that kind of formula. And sitting in silence is not easy. It's actually quite difficult sometimes to sit without distractions. I shared with my life group last week, I think, you know, like the average, the most recent statistic is that the average person reaches for their smartphone 120 times in the day. Pick it up to have a look at it. Somebody sent me a message, says, what time is it? You know, all those things that, how often do we lift our voices in prayer in a day? Sitting in silence can be difficult because there'll be distractions. So maybe sometimes we need to turn those devices off, leave them in a different room. Maybe we need to sit down with a notepad and a pen beside us so whenever we sit down and try to be in silence and all those other things that suddenly come into our heads, oh, I should really text somebody or I should really do the hoovering or I should really fix that creaky door or do you know what, I have to buy this at the shop next time I'm there. And our minds seem to flood with all of these distractions. We can write them down on a piece of paper and simply just say, I'll deal with that later. And often the next question that comes whenever you're in this kind of conversation with other people is this. Whenever I'm listening, how do I know if it's God's voice and not just my own wee voice in my head? That's a really, really important question. Because if we're saying that a conversation is a two-way thing, if we're saying that we spend time talking, but we spend time listening to what God might have to say to us, then how do we discern and distinguish that it might be God's voice and not just my own thoughts? Remember last week whenever I talked you through that whole thing about me and Shirley? That got to the point whenever the phone rang and you used to have to go into the wee cold hall with no heat on it with a telephone that's tied to a wall with a cord. And you lifted the phone and you said hello, and she said hello. I didn't have to say, who's that? Because I recognized her voice. Because I've been spending time with her. And the more time you spend in God's presence, the more time you spend listening for his voice, the more you will know and understand when it's him speaking and not just your own thoughts. The more you will understand that that little verse of scripture that suddenly pops into your head is from God, and whenever you go and you look at it, you realize, wow, that is speaking so much into my situation. But all of that takes time. It takes time to grow in that connection and that conversation with God. Now, after years of trying to develop this in my own life, do I now know God better now than I did when I first started? I would hope the answer is yes. Do I know the entirety of God? No way. Because he has still so much more to teach me. Do I always get it right? Most definitely not. Do I always instantly recognize his voice? No. But that's where verse 21 comes in. Pray continually. Keep going. Think about it as a marathon rather than a sprint, I suppose. Because often we think about prayer as a little kind of 100-meter sprint. I must sit down and pray. I must get all of this out. I must get over the finish line so I can say amen and I can get on with everything else. It's more like a marathon. It takes time. It takes training. It takes a stretching of our muscles. There'll be times whenever it's downhill and prayer seems as if it's that little bit easier, and there'll be times whenever it's uphill and it seems as if we're never going to get to the top of it. But the key is to keep going. Now, I know that to look at this wonderful physique, you wouldn't imagine that I once was a runner. There you are. Used to exercise regularly, maybe 4 or 5 times at the gym and running a couple of times at the weekend. And then I hurt one of my muscles. And I stopped because it was so sore. And it's, every time I've tried to get back into it, it's been sore again. And so I haven't got back to running. And for some of us, that's the space and the place that we are with prayer. We've done it. We felt we were in a connection and good at it. And then something happened, whatever that was, and there's a period of hurt or misunderstanding or anguish or hurt or unanswered prayer, whatever it might be, and so we stop praying. And we haven't started because we're fearful that it will feel the same as whenever we stop. But the difficulty is, if we don't start again, we end up not with the muscle of prayer, but with the overweightness of simply the routine. Start small. Start consistent. But the important is that we keep going. So what can we do this week? Well, we find a space and a place, a time to actually practice some of this, to begin it, to hone it, to shape it. To consider the things that you want to talk about before you sit down, because then or they're not just ramblings, but consider the things that you want to give thanks for. Consider the things you want to pray for. Consider the things that you want to intercede on behalf of, maybe for some people. Get a Bible, a notebook, a journal. Write down the things that you've been praying for. Write down how you're feeling whenever you're doing it. Write down the things that are distracting you and say, I'll deal with them later. Maybe a particular verse or passage might come into your head, or you'll find it in whatever it is that you're reading before you begin. Look it up, read it over and over again, and allow that verse to speak deep into your soul. But it's important that we start the conversation. But none of this diminishes those small, instant, spur-of-the-moment RO prayers that we can offer in a daily this, sometimes on an hourly basis, whenever we're washing the dishes at the sink and somebody comes into our head, or an ambulance goes past us on the road and we pray for the staff and for the person in it. But if you, we as a community of faith want, desire to grow in our relationship with God, then we really need to start to increase our developing prayer life. And so there will be opportunities over the next number of weeks to join in spaces to pray. And I would encourage you to be a part of that. I would encourage you to take time as individuals and as community to be in a conversation with God. Because that's where the power and the connection truly is. Pray together. Lord, we thank you for the ability to have a conversation with you. Lord, we thank you that you are willing to be in a conversation with us. So whatever it is that we bring to you, however we lay our lives before you, Lord, we thank you that you are willing to listen and to be in conversation with us. In Jesus' name, amen. But let's turn our faces to prayer and to Ephesians chapter 3 as we conclude our service today. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.